This time on Culture File, the final part of our series on silence. Over the past month, we've been seeking silence to get our heads around silence, striving to measure it, make room for it, or somehow capture and preserve it. This time, Gareth Stack is talking to artist Amanda Coogan about the scarce silence of her childhood.
I love your shopping trolley.
I know, I'm like an old lady.
Because I think we always think of performance art as so glamorous.
Oh yeah, it's super glamorous.
I met Amanda Coogan at her studio on the grounds of St. Joseph's School for Deaf Boys. Her work over the last two decades has explored the body, femininity, and the relationship between artist and audience, viewer and participant. Amanda began by giving me a crash course in what makes Irish performance art, and her work in particular, unique.
Performance art is a relatively new form of practice. It's about 100 years old, but really came into its own in the 60s and 70s. Irish performance art practice is very much based on the psychological self, the psychological body going through actual experiences, real experiences. I work in what's called durational performance. Durational performance, for me, is anything over 3 hours. And what happens in long, extended periods of time, and I've done up to 24-hour performances, is that the body is taxed. The body has to go through some endurance. It is difficult physically, emotionally, psychologically. And that is what you are presenting. And that is what the audience are enabling you to do by being there.
Amanda's work is notably free of the spoken word, and I asked her why she'd chosen to exclude this most direct mode of communication.
It's a very particular choice that I've made in my work not to use speech, not to use words. I am asking the audience to come into a very particular embodied experience with me. So consider the body. We are looking at a body who's presenting itself publicly as an audience member. You feel that empathy, you feel that sympathy, you feel that communion with that body. The body is the filter that we read the whole world through. So your bodily experience informs every way that you understand and conceive the world and experience the world. It's a radically different filter to just the head. So for example, I have an older piece of mine called Yellow, where I scrub the dress that I'm wearing, and the audience members would often rock in the same rhythm as my scrubbing, simply letting it wash over them. I strongly believe that if I utter a sentence or a word, that brings people out of the embodied experience and brings them into the rational self. I think there's place for both of those, but I ask my audience very much to be in the moment, in the present moment of the embodied experience with me.
Amanda Coogan isn't just a notable performance artist. She's also one of the only people in the country to have been a hearing person raised through Irish Sign Language. And this unique perspective has had an inevitable impact on her work.
Irish Sign Language is my first language. Both of my parents are deaf, sign language users, activists in the community. So I suppose it makes pretty simple sense that as an artist, I am very much engaged with embodied practice, physical, visual, manual practice. To utter something in sign language, you must use your body. And to receive something in sign language, you must use your eyes. Not that it isn't a rational language either. Of course we have vocabulary, of course we have sentence structures, we have thoughts. It's as rich and deep a language as English or any other spoken language. It's manifest in a radically different way. The body and our bodily constitution and experience is the major filter to how we experience and live in the world. So the deaf body, or the body that uses Irish Sign Language or any other sign language, has a radically different filter onto the world.
A hearing person finding out about Amanda's unique background might almost inevitably ask themselves the question what it must have been like to grow up with voiceless parents in a presumably quiet home.
People would often say that I would have come from a silent world. It couldn't be more opposite. actually deaf people are super noisy. But it's really interesting noisy because it's not a noisy that is communicating. It's an accidental noisy. I was just working with 42 deaf people in the Project Arts Centre a couple of weeks ago on a piece called You Told Me to Wash and Clean My Ears. And they're so noisy. You know, walking up the stairs, slamming the door, even using sign language is noisy. Or they utter the most beautiful sounds that are not indicators of communication. They're literally the body making sounds because there's no filter to stop doing that. So sound for me, I suppose, has never been related directly to communication, but it's almost a musical phenomena. In my familial home when I was growing up, it was very noisy. And even now when I return to my parents' house, the cooker makes noise, the fridge makes noise. There's often an alarm going off when you come into the house, and it could have been going off for days. It doesn't make any odds to them. So sound, as we understand it as hearing people, was very different for me when I was growing up. There is no silence. You go to ACL looking for silence. It's a different quality of sound that we hear. John Cage's famous 4-minute piece actually makes us as the audience hear the world. We don't hear the instruments not being played. What we hear is the atmosphere. All the people gathered in that particular concert hall, different bodies breathing, shuffling. There is sound. There is always some kind of quality of sound. I very much realized our kind of adventure to look for silence is a fool's gold. There is no such thing as silence.
Amanda Coogan there talking to Gareth Stack, and you can find all four parts of that series on silence on the